This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you season two of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
We've got our take cannons loaded and ready. Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short routes.
Boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
This is Reception, Perception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Coe, Matt Harmon here with you. You listen to Reception, Perception, the show. All right, Matt, he is knee deep in prospect charting as we are entering here into early April. I don't know, Matt, again, really deep receiver class. You've been enjoying yourself watching some of these guys, breaking down some of the film here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is fun every year, just especially once we get closer to the draft. And I always say, you know, I don't watch a lot of college football, so I don't really know what people are saying, you know, about Xavier Worthy or A.D. Mitchell or any of that stuff. Like, I come to these narratives very late. But at this point, I do know kind of the consensus opinion about some of these players.
Right.
And that's always fun to sort of put that to the test, right? Where, all right, at this point, look, it's I'm not going to go knee deep and read somebody I really respect's work or, you know, or somebody I don't respect's work and like then let that shade my opinion about, like, I'm gonna avoid that, right? Like, you know, I there are plenty of people's film opinions that I love. You know, I mean,
Matt Waldman,
right? Like, I'm not reading, I've bought my RSP because Matt's a good friend. I'm not reading that thing until after
there you go.
I really kind of get my, I might go and see where he's got guys ranked, but I'm not going to go read his analysis on certain players because I don't want that to cloud my opinion. Right. I'm not going to go have these long, in-depth conversations with some other friends of mine that watch film until I've kind of got a good base of understanding on the player.
There you go.
That being said, there are certain narratives about players that, you know, if you're going to consume football media, you're going to be a terminally online football fan, as we all unfortunately are. You're gonna know some of the narratives on these guys so then to hear that and then sort of see the actual product on film and chart it on a route by route basis, that's where I really do enjoy that part of it.
All right, there you go. With that in mind, can we talk about A.D. Mitchell here out of Texas? And again, they had a pair of guys here, and Xavier Worthy and Mitchell that just, I mean, these guys can fly. I mean, good Lord, so much speed on the field here for Texas. But in regards to Adonai Mitchell, 6'2", 205 pounds, man, ran a 4.34 40 with a 39.5-inch vertical. Bro, an 11.4 broad jump, that's just wild. That is wild. And again, with what he's got going on here, with the height and the speed and all that kind of stuff, man, I was... Obviously, a big part of what he did at Texas, Matt, was deep down the field, and I thought he was just smooth as hell getting downfield, and such a great ball tracker deep as well.
Yeah. Let me just say this off the top. I don't like this Texas offense at all. And I spent a lot of the weekend charting both A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy back to back.
Right.
So,
okay.
Not a great experience because I don't like watching this offense. I mean, it is pretty like cut from the traditional college gimmicky BS that I'm not really into.
Yeah. Right.
We've got shaky quarterback play. I know like there's a lot of Quinn Ewers and all this stuff. I mean, not for me, not fun, not shaky. We've got shaky quarterback play. We've got like layers and layers of little RPOs. We've got like half field reads, receivers just kind of jogging around out there.
Oh, that's the worst part. Jesus Christ.
And like, I'm kind of, here's what I'll say. Like, talk about narratives. Maybe it's because he didn't give like the best answer or the answer that people want when asked about it at the combine or whatever. And I know there's some other, I know for a fact there are some teams that have like personality concerns with A.D. Mitchell and just kind of some stuff like that. So maybe that's where it comes from. But, like, I'm kind of confused to where people are like, yeah, A.D. Mitchell, lazy, loafs on his routes, all this stuff. Dude, all these Texas guys are doing it on film. Like, the fastest guy at the combine, Xavier Worthy, he's out there half-assing it on these routes sometimes, too. Let me tell you that, buddy. Like, the whole team's doing it. So it could just be the way they coach him, right? And some of these like Big 12 offenses and stuff like that. I mean, obviously, think back to like the Baylor Art Briles days.
I was just about to say, golly, it's every year at Baylor. It's like
that sucked. That was not fun to watch. And you know, for me, also from just a charting perspective, for like transparency's sake, I'm not charting like if you do like a little like. I'm the podcast, people can't see this, but like you do this like little saunter out there on, and then like go cut inward and be like, all right, I'm going to chart that as a successful slant or an unsuccessful slant or like, no,
doesn't
that's
even
not
count.
A route. Yeah. It doesn't count. That's not a route. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. You're not getting thrown the ball. You know, you're not getting thrown the ball. You're not doing anything on it. You're just sauntering around out there. Cause like technically that's the other part of the, no, like, and so from a charting perspective, it does kind of make it weird. But also, again, yeah, it's all of these guys are doing it. So is it just what they're coached to do? Like, I mean, A.D. Mitchell said
it
at the
must
combine.
Be.
Yeah, it must I'm sure it is. A.D. Mitchell said at the combine, I don't run my routes full speed so that I can play entire drives and so that when I'm really needed, I can run full speed. Which, like, I don't know why that seems to be such a trigger for people when they hear receivers say that, because every receiver does this. And for the most part, it's not that big of a deal. Like it's unless you're Derek Carr, I guess, and Chris Olave does it on Thursday Night Football, it's really not that big of a deal. So I don't know. I was confused. I'm kind of confused by the whole, like, why A.D. Mitchell gets a lot of this crap for it, because everybody on Texas does it, which I'm not saying is fun to watch. It's not fun to watch.
No,
it's the truth of the situation. So don't like this offense much overall, but overall did really like A.D. Mitchell as a player.
I do wonder too. It's like you bring up the conference, and it's like, why? It's always Texas, TCU, and Baylor. Whenever you see these wide receivers from these schools, doesn't even matter who the coaches are. Like, for whatever reason, like we're spanning across multiple coaching trees now, and the receivers in the Big 12 seem to do this a lot. I mean, more than any other conference that you've seen. I don't get Oklahoma. Same thing. Yeah. I don't get it. Like, is it a Big 12 thing? I don't get it.
Yeah, like, if we're being real, I obviously push back on kind of, you know, okay, Roma Dunze, he's played in the Pac-12, so you got to discount his success rates. I'm like, I think we're jumping the shark a little bit with the Roma Dunze stuff. And like some of the, but the Big 12, I'm kind of with you there, man, because that shit's like fake. I don't even know what to say. Some of the football down there is just like not real. Like there's, so that is where actually I think it's important. Just like I've mentioned with the Roma Dunze profile, it is important to bring these games up. Like when you see these guys play not against Big 12 opponents, and luckily for Texas, they were a good team last year, so you got to see them play Washington. You got to see them play Alabama early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And like to me, but
when they're playing these teams, it's funny. Like they're not loafing around. Like it's very interesting. They seem to only be loafing in these interconference games. You know, like that's what makes it so strange.
I push back a little bit on the Washington game for not. I saw some Xavier Worthy like what are we doing here plays when he's probably out
on
of
the far
concept,
side
far
yeah,
out,
yeah,
far
yeah,
out
yeah.
there
uh-huh,
whatever
uh-huh.
but yeah but my point in saying that is actually, and we could talk about Xavier Worthy on a different episode, but two of my least favorite films for Xavier Worthy were actually the Alabama game and the Washington
interesting.
game. Whereas on the inverse, two of my favorite films, just like I said for Roma Dunze, like one of my favorite films from him was Michigan. I thought that was one of his best separation showings. A.D. Mitchell, I think, played really well against Alabama. I think he played really well against Washington. Atrocious quarterback play. I mean, I can't tell you. It was driving me nuts. This is super specific. I cannot tell you. And I might do a video breakdown of this on YouTube.
Okay.
I'm not going to show every clip, but because I do want a breakdown of A.D. Mitchell. I kind of might do a breakdown of him on YouTube, but I cannot tell you how many clips I have saved on my computer right now. A.D. Mitchell, out route, open, completely missed. I mean, and he knew it too, because there were a couple times where he was just so frustrated. And this guy, I mean, look at the reception perception profile, 7.2% out route rate, which is above the prospect average. I mean, this guy is a vertical receiver. He's running these downfield routes. The out route included 7.2% of his sampled routes for reception perception were out routes, again, above the prospect average. 89.5% success rate, which is a great success rate.
It is.
And if you're new to reception perception, success rate done got nothing to do with production in our lexicon. Success rate just means, correct, did you run the route well? Did you present a reasonable target? Did you get open? You know what A.D. Mitchell did on those plays? He presented a reasonable target, he ran the route well, and he got open. And you know what didn't happen? A lot of production. So, again, I cannot tell you how many files are on this computer those specific plays. I'll put a few of them out when we do the YouTube video. But, man, I mean, I really like this guy from a route running perspective as an ex-receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Just not a lot of plays where you get to see it kind of put into actualized production because of the gimmicky offense, because of his position, and because of the quarterback play.
Okay, so when you're taking a look at X receivers, one of the number one things that you look at, seemingly, is when you talk about man press scores. Now, again, some of this is going to be a little bit skewed because of the whole Big 12 thing. We just got done talking about that, right? But the bottom line is, Matt, when you're talking about A.D. Mitchell with an 84th percentile score against man and an 83rd percentile score against press coverage, again, you talk about the size, you talk about the speed, and he's also beating man press coverage. There's a lot to like in regards to his prospects as an outside X receiver.
Yeah, 82.8% of his snaps were on the line. That's the highest of any prospect I've charted so far. So this is true X receiver. That's the funny thing about how, like I talked about, this gimmicky offense.
Okay.
But you can see, if you want to see NFL receiver things, like NFL receiver routes in terms of the deployment, NFL receiver alignment,
yeah,
X receiver stuff, you get it from A.D. Mitchell's film, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really do. And the fact that he then translates that to those press coverage, man coverage success rates is really important. I mean, he's not great against zone coverage. Absolutely not. 31st percentile success rate versus zone coverage. I got a lot of critiques from him from a zone coverage standpoint.
Hmm.
Part of it is he needs to get to his landmarks faster. Absolutely. That's got to happen against zone coverage. He's got to have a better understanding of leverage. He's got to have a better understanding of, like, when do I cut in? When do I sit down? All of this stuff has to be better,
mm-hmm,
against zone coverage, but specifically working against man in press coverage, I really like his route running. I really like the way he sets things up. I really like the way he works at the stem of in-breaking routes and out-breaking routes, truthfully, against man coverage. He's almost got this kind of, like, weird style that I think, because of the take plays off narrative, people kind of think he's loafing or he's running slowly, but he's kind of got this, like, lull you to sleep way of running routes where, like, he is coming at it a little slow, but then all of a sudden, boom, we've got like a sharp break and he's open. Like, he's just wide open at that point. I do think that gets him into trouble in zone coverage situations, but specifically man-to-man situations. I think that ends up presenting a really good target for your quarterback if you've got the right type of guy. They did not have the right type of guy at Texas last year, but if you've got an aggressive and patient quarterback in the NFL, I can really see him connecting well with A.D. Mitchell in those man coverage situations. Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who knows how to work himself open for sure. Can there be better timing? Absolutely. But a guy that truly does separate and, like, has that, like I said, weird sort of funky route running style where he's kind of lulling you to sleep. Actually, it's not too dissimilar to another guy that people, you know, think is super slow and doesn't separate. DeAndre Hopkins, like, he kind of has that same sort of, like, especially at his prime, like, think about those. There's like, used to be like a highlights of it of, like, Hopkins coming off the line in Houston, Texas uniform, almost kind of like marching at you.
Totally.
And then, boom, 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 he's open on like a slant route, right?
Right.
And it happens fast. I think you see that with A.D. Mitchell, actually. And that was sort of a – I did a series for Yahoo, video series of, like, aggressive and kind of cautious comps. I like my cautious comp for AD Mitchell a lot better, but my aggressive comp for him was DeAndre Hopkins. And I think if he continues to work on his craft and like tighten up those fundamentals, we see the man press success rates, which Hopkins had at his peak. Yeah. He was always good against man press coverage because of that route running style. I do kind of see that with AD Mitchell a little bit.
You know, I love that comp because, again, I started the thing off by saying I love his ball tracking deep downfield. And I think that's, you know, where Nuke was a special player was his ball tracking ability. And then obviously body control and hands was this man's calling card when we're talking about Nuke, right? And I love the hands for Adonai Mitchell too. I love the hands for Adonai Mitchell as well. And then what I wrote down was not really shifty, but has all the speed in the world to do all the outside stuff you need to get done in the NFL. So again, you know, we talked about Ladd McConkey, I think it was last week or maybe it was 2 weeks ago or whatever it was. And he's super violent with that upper body, you know, shake, right? To free himself of defenders. That's not Adonai Mitchell, but he's still so smooth. And really what I like about his game, especially when we're going downfield, is that he'll attack leverage, right? Yeah. Like he's going to threaten outside and then cross, you know, go across your face by going inside or threaten inside and then coming across and then getting to the outside. Right. A couple of things in his prospect profile though, Matt, that I thought to be really interesting. And I was hoping you could kind of expand on this. 35% of his routes were on the corner nine and post, and specifically 21% on the nine, 10.2% on the post. Man, that is a lot of downfield work.
Yeah, and
hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You know, it's funny. I know a lot of the production bros don't love AD Mitchell, like the data bros don't love AD Mitchell because the profile's not great and like the production profile's not good. Yeah, again, like these guys that run these downfield routes, especially in this type of offense with kind of like a gimmicky quarterback and really good teammates otherwise, like let me tell you what, when the Xavier Worthy route chart comes out, it's not going to be skewed downfield like that. Like definitely not to that degree, right? He's right. More of that kind of layup receiver, which, you know, maybe you can say, well, because they think he's better, they want to get the ball in his hands more, whatever. I mean, Xavier Worthy was a really good college player, so it's not like that's any necessarily like a shade. But these like downfield vertical X receivers and these gimmicky offenses with shaky quarterback play, that's going to impact the production profile. That's also going to impact the yards after catch stuff too. By the way, he's people really bang on him from a yards after catch perspective, and I do not think he looks comfortable with the ball in his hands. It's crazy. He's so comfortable winning the ball in tight coverage and being a ball winner, but he's not comfortable after the catch. That said, like some of the yards after catch per reception numbers for like a downfield X receiver, we probably shouldn't even talk about that shit. Like,
I agree.
We'd be better off as a society. Like, what?
Better off as a society.
Oh, truly. Like, this comes back to when people were like, Mike Evans overrated because he doesn't have good yak numbers. Have you seen Mike Evans' catches? Not a lot of yards after opportunity on those catches, guys. Right. So come on. And AD Mitchell, honestly, same way. Like you mentioned, those downfield routes, like that's primarily what he's running. And he gets pretty good separation, not great separation on you know, nine routes, corner routes, pretty good. He could get better on the post for sure. We got, again, that zone coverage stuff, we got to time that a little bit better. But yeah, mostly a downfield receiver, not getting a lot of these like Mickey Mouse layup routes.
We love the downfield stuff. You know me, I love the downfield stuff, okay? But when I start taking a look at guys who are going to be productive in the NFL, like solid starters, I really take a look at the short to intermediary area in breaking routes. I promise I can get that out. And in regards to A.D. Mitchell, when we're talking about short and intermediate, my dude, A.D. Mitchell, 52% of his routes were in breaking routes in the short to intermediate area of the field. That is absolutely bonkers, man. 19.3% of his routes were digs, 18.2% of his routes were slants, and 14.4% of his routes were curl routes. Oh my goodness, Matt. All they had this guy do was break inside or go deep.
Typically, these Big 12 offenses that we're complaining about also kind of come with some stripped down route trees. Mitchell, yeah, though, those dig and out route success rates too, 82.4%, 89.5% on digs
that's
and out
great.
Routes.
That's so good.
That's really, really, really good. And that's where I kind of like am really buying the upside on, mm-hmm, on A.D. Mitchell. He definitely comes with risks. He definitely is not for everybody. Some people just don't like this X receiver archetype really anymore. I definitely think he's a guy that, like we talked about Ricky Pearsall a couple episodes ago, I can, yep, really see so many receiver rooms where he's going to fit in. A.D. Mitchell is not that way. We all need to collectively wish cast him to like the Bills or the Chiefs quarterbacks that are going to live with his kind of like, we're going to be patient. We're going to work with him. We're also really good. Patrick Holmes, Josh Allen, good quarterbacks. They also so badly need an X. It just both those teams. I think he'd be great there. Immediate path to kind of playing time. But yeah, I mean, that intermediate area that you're bringing up is really what kind of sells me on the, can he go from my cautious comp for him and over on the Yahoo series I was talking about was George Pickens. And like, if he can really tighten up and really win in that intermediate area, that's where I can see the upside case of him being more than just the volatile X receiver. Like I like George Pickens, fan of George Pickens, but the reason I've been kind of like 1 foot in, 1 foot out on Pickens is because he's inconsistent in that intermediate area. He's volatile in that intermediate area. Mitchell, mm-hmm, shows you signs, which, to be fair to George Pickens, was also on George Pickens' prospect profile, more than people kind of gave it credit for. So that's why you can still hold out some hope for Pickens developing in this area. But Mitchell shows you that on film, even I think more than Pickens' prospect profile, that he can be good in that intermediate area.
Yeah, over 80% on the slant, over 80% on the dig, and over 80% on the out route. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And again, we know what he can do downfield. That's why, to me, I am really excited about Adonai Mitchell. He can absolutely play X in this league. But you're right. He needs to find the right quarterback to help unlock. He needs to find the right coach. I mean, it's true of any prospect. But if you want to see some real production out of A.D. Mitchell here, he's going to have to get in the right system. But I think there's a lot in here, Matt, in regards to his RP profile that would indicate to me that he can get it done. And again, I go back to his man press scores. It just goes to show that this guy can absolutely win one-on-one, a key component when you're talking about playing outside X in the NFL.
A lot of really good spots for an X receiver to land. And there weren't a lot of X receivers in last year's draft class, right? Like guys that could truly kind of transcend the traditional archetype there. I mean,
right.
Who the best X receiver in last year's draft class, like pure X, was probably like Cedric Tillman.
From a profile. Well, I mean, ultimately ended up being more like, you know, Puka Nakua, obviously.
Yeah, But I mean, like from a prospect ranking standpoint, it was probably like Cedric Tillman.
Yeah, Cedric Tillman.
And, like,
right.
I liked A.T. Perry, but he went way later, obviously, than that. But like, those were the top X receivers from last year's draft class. Like Quentin Johnson was built like an X receiver, but we knew with based on the profile that was not his optimal role. And then the unfortunately, the people that disagreed with that happened to formerly run the Los Angeles Chargers. So I think that with guys like Mitchell, that's like I don't know where he's going to go. He's a guy that I do think has a big draft range. I can see him going late first round. I could even see him going like mid first round to a team that just really sells themselves on that upside. I think I'm more comfortable with him like very late round one, 32 overall to the Kansas City Chiefs. Very late round one, early round two. But I could see him falling a little bit to that mid second round because of some of the stuff that we're talking about from do they get a good answer on him from a loafing like type of stuff, like I said. Yeah. But again, this is a guy that's going to go in the second round, bare minimum, I think. And he's not even the best X receiver in this class, like not even close. that's pretty appealing from just why, like, why this overall class is good.
Right. Yeah, exactly right. All right, let's play a little game of buy or sell. There's quite a few, actually, I think, semi-high profile free agent wide receivers still out there on the market. And by the way, when we're recording this, if they get signed, don't worry. Okay. It's just, okay, we just recorded before they signed. Okay, anyways, but here are some guys. By the way, I don't think these guys are going to sign at least before the draft. I think the teams are going to draft.
I think we'll be pretty safe.
Yeah, we'll be fine here. Anyways, buy or sell some of these name-ish receivers. I don't want to say how about medium profile wide receivers here. We're going to start with Odell Beckham. Buy or sell Odell Beckham to the Bills. Now, again, the Bills obviously traded away Stephon Diggs. He's also been linked to the Miami Dolphins, so I'll throw that in there too. Buy or sell Bills or Dolphins here for Odell Beckham Jr.?
I don't buy Dolphins. They're kind of in cap. I mean, both these teams are actually kind of in cap problems, but if I buy them in Buffalo if they don't sign or they don't get an X receiver in the draft. If they come away with, and by the way, like, I think they could use an X receiver, but let's say they get.
Well, let me ask you this. Even if they do draft an X receiver, though, wouldn't Odell at this point in his career be best suited almost like as a flanker slot?
I don't know about slot just because, like, I don't know. I want him running a lot of, like, kind of underneath routes. I think you want to kind of build up speed wise. But the slant, because, like, what used to make him so dangerous was he catches slants and he could, like, house it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we see that necessarily from Odell now at this point, but I think he can line up at X and kind of give you sort of that veteran presence there if they don't get an X receiver. But I agree with you, even if they get an X, that's fine. I think just, though, to me, it kind of depends on who they come away with in the draft, but I can buy the idea of it.
Yeah, the Dolphins thing is interesting because there was so many rumors linking him to the Dolphins, and then Odell came out and said, not so fast, and... I think from a personality standpoint, I don't think Odell is going to be fine walking into camp, being the number three wide receiver option for a team, right? So, yeah. And that's certainly what he would be in Miami, although I do know that those guys from South Beach are making a really strong push to kind of sort of bring him in the building. And Matt, you talked about this before, right? Odell, Miami is a team that, yeah, okay, they have an embarrassment of riches up top, but they would do well to kind of sort of round out their receiver room too.
Yeah, I do think they need a third option. Like, I don't need to see River Croycraft and Braxton Berrios and stuff like that, right? I think we could use with a real third option, but I struggle with seeing, like, Odell Beckham as necessarily that guy. Although they've done a lot of stuff with Jaylen Waddle where they've lined him up as a stationary target, pure on the line, kind of outside receiver. With Beckham there, that would probably free him up a little bit. And I still think he can be a quality target earner, if not a high-volume target earner.
It would be a great pairing in terms of, you know, in regards to Mike McDaniel drawing up some creative plays for Odell. So I think that would be really interesting. I think he's probably – and I like Joe Brady too, but I think, you know, Mike McDaniel is just in another class. Right, in terms of being able to draw a play. So that would be an interesting spot. The way his season ended last year was really weird for Baltimore, where he barely played at all. I don't know. It was a weird season, I think, for Odell there in Baltimore. Okay, but we move on. Hunter Renfrow is a player that I really like. I think Hunter Renfrow can play for a lot of different teams, and I think he just got frozen, iced out there in his last couple of seasons under McDaniel there with the Raiders. Now he's a free agent. He has been linked relatively heavily here with the Kansas City Chiefs. Buy or sell the crafty slot man, Hunter Renfrow, with Kansas City.
Caveat on, we, you know, Rashee Rice, the whole thing.
Yeah, we
got to
know
there.
About Rashee Rice. Yeah. Can I bring this up, though? Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I have just been... I'm not going to say appalled, but astounded by the amount of people that feel they need to have, like, a take on, like, a fantasy take on the risk of Rashee Rice getting suspended. Like, did he have 10.8 grams or 10.8 ounces of marijuana? Like, hey, guys, like, just, you know, when you can, like, you don't need to have a take on everything, bro. Like, you don't need to fire off a tweet about Rashee Rice. Like, if you really need to show everybody you're a good person, like, put out a, like, man, this is horrible. Like, you shouldn't do this. And then everybody knows, like, you're against speeding and crashing into people. Congratulations on that. But, like, Dude, we don't need a fantasy take on Rashee Rice, okay? Like, you know when you can have a fantasy take, I guess, if you really feel the need that this needs to happen, when you find out whether he's going to be suspended or not. Like, because otherwise, like, forecast it, just... Dude, stop. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we're way far away. Yeah, we're way far away.
We don't know, but all I say, we don't know what's going to happen with Rashee Rice. I think if Rice is on the roster, like, you got a guy that needs to play in the slot, we think, at this point, based on what he's done so far. Marquise Brown probably best utilized in the slot. I think we're getting a little too slotty here with the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's already been a criticism of this offense previously.
That's absolutely true. I do wonder, though, when I take a look at, you know, Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice, first of all, I think it's fair to wonder, given his collegiate profile, does the coaching staff actually start building out a little bit more of a package outside for Rashee Rice? So much of the work that he did was certainly in the slot, Matt, but I do think there is room for growth there, and that growth probably comes as an outside X receiver.
I don't know. I'm uncomfortable pushing him too far out of what we saw last year. We definitely need more, and we saw more as the year went on, right? When he wasn't just running these kind of like layup slot routes, crossing routes, stuff like that. I just don't want to put too much on his plate because he was really good at what he did last year. I kind of struggle with, like, all right, he was really good at that. Like, let's start loading him up with more information when we didn't really see a lot of evidence, by the way, that he was good as a route runner against press man coverage.
So last year played 48% of his snaps lined up inside and just 50% of his snaps lined up outside. So, you know, again, when you take a look at, and again, I'm not comparing Rashee Rice to Tyreek Hill, but Tyreek Hill was a number one option, obviously, for Kansas City. Rashee Rice was essentially their number one wide receiver option outside of Travis Kelce there for Kansas City. And Tyreek did a lot of the same stuff in terms of his alignment, not usage, but alignment was more 50-50 than people realized there with Tyreek Hill. So again, I do wonder if Rashee Rice can play a little bit more outside. I hear what you're saying, though. But given the fact that he was just a straight up outside X receiver when he was in college, you and I were both very surprised by his usage there in Kansas City. So certainly at least fair to wonder that. And then in regards to Hollywood Brown, again, you talk about him in the slot. I think, and again, maybe I'm wrong here, Matt, but wouldn't I think most people consider him to basically be like a flanker type receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs? So if we're talking some flanker, you know, we got your locked and loaded flanker guy who can also play a little bit outside with the speed. Okay, then we have also got, you know, Rashee Rice playing a little bit of everywhere on the line. Maybe that does free up some snap share here for Hunter Renfro to line up inside, who, by the way, in his best season there with the Raiders, also played some flanker, you know, snaps as well. And I do think that he can do some of those things, not a ton, but some of those things can kind of sort of mix it up. And man, I think Andy Reid can get the best out of him.
Can we just get Patrick Mahomes like a big outside receiver who can beat man coverage? Like,
fair enough.
Enough already with like, all right, right. Doesn't have
mixing
to,
and matching in. Yeah,
he doesn't have to only play in the slot. Like when he's outside, then this guy could be like, okay. Enough
that's
already.
So
like, just can yeah, we just can we just yeah. get this guy?
That's so true.
An outside receiver who can beat man coverage. God. It shouldn't be that much to ask for.
We have that's how bad it's been in Kansas City. It's like they've even convinced me. Convinced me that they can get away with it. Come
because
on,
with
what
the,
am I doing?
Because, yeah, right. The
you know what am I doing?
Zealot himself, James.
Yeah,
Coe.
What am I doing?
I mean, like, come on, what are we doing here? And
I'm stupid.
You can't have a shortage of viable bodies at the receiver position based on how things have gone for Kansas City. So, like, I guess I wouldn't. I'm not gonna like come out with a strong take of yeah, that was stupid for them to sign Hunter Renfro. Because I'm with you. I think Hunter Renfro could play, but just like. It's just not what I'm envisioning when I think like one more Chiefs receiver.
Oh my God. I can't believe they've even fooled me. This is stupid. That's crazy. DJ Chark has been linked with the Cowboys. Michael Gallup has been linked with the Steelers. I'll do them both at the same time. DJ Chark, Cowboys, Gallup to the Steelers, buy or sell.
Yeah. I'm going to pass on both of these.
There you
because
go.
Gallup, like, he's another guy that I think is an X receiver. You already have George Pickens in that role. I mean, they don't really want to throw the football there anyway. So, you know, But I wonder, it's weird though that you bring up Gallup and the Steelers, because they also wanted to talk to Mike Williams, who's another pure X receiver. So like, you know, the Brian Windhorst meme, like, why is that? Like, right. What's going on in Pittsburgh? You know, I'm curious about that part of it, I guess, that they seem to want to be talking to these X receivers. And yet, I know I've heard there's some interest in A.D. Mitchell too there. And like, he's another X receiver type. So maybe they're thinking they're going to use George Pickens more in like a wide variety of roles, which, you know, I could be convinced of the viability of that. But overall, I don't love Gallup there. I'd love him more with the team. Like, if Carolina doesn't get an X, if Carolina gets like, everybody wants to link them to Ladd McConkey, like, okay, give me somebody with size then, like, after that. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we're going to have Ladd McConkey and Deontay Johnson, like, I'm gonna need somebody with some size there as the X receiver. So I would probably peg him for more of a team like that. Chark, man, I mean, dude.
Yeah, we're done with Chark at this point. Right? Like, I mean,
sorry,
it's crazy. But, yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'd rather see what Jalen Tolbert can do at that point. I don't know if Tolbert's like a true X prospect.
Yeah.
But I'd rather just see what Jalen Tolbert could do or draft somebody in this draft class. Like, I don't think Chark can get open anymore.
I actually think Michael Gallup would be a really good fit in Detroit, honestly, depending on what they do.
DJ Chark's old position. Actually, I like that. That's a good one.
Exactly. Exactly. I love that. Again, you're not solely relying on Jameson Williams, but that at the same time, when you bring in Michael Gallup, you're also not saying Jameson Williams is done. Right, it's like you bring in a Michael Gallup, he's going to get reps. You know, Jameson Williams is going to get reps, but you're not fully committed to Jameson Williams, which I think is understandable. And again, you just need to round out that room just a little bit. They got DPJ there, and I know there's a lot of DPJ truthers out there. But again, just having DPJ, Jameson Williams, Michael Gallup to go along with Amon-Ra St. Brown, I don't know. I think we could be working with something there.
You lose Josh Reynolds too this offseason. And look, I know that Josh Reynolds is solid. He's a Jared Goff guy, Brad Holmes guy. But I think at his peak, and look, Gallup hasn't been this player for a while, but I think at his peak, Gallup was a better player. So I would like to take the reclamation project on Michael Gallup personally.
Totally. Yeah, totally. And I think at this point, too, especially after the draft, I don't think it's – I mean, what's it going to take to bring Gallup in, you know? Not very much. Yet. So I would rather see Gallup in Detroit than in Pittsburgh for sure. Tyler Boyd, slot man with Cincinnati, also linked to the Chiefs. Buy or sell Tyler
another
Boyd.
Another slot guy for Kansas City.
Slot guy. You know, the thing is too, it's like I think we've seen the Tyler Boyd experiment outside and it just doesn't work, man. Especially at this point in his career. Good Lord.
I was going to say the same thing, especially at this point in his career. I don't know if I buy that. I've never actually been the biggest Tyler Boyd fan. I always thought he was a little bit overrated as a player.
Okay.
He's a fine number three, and I do think he's a declining player as well.
Yeah, same, same.
I could see him in Pittsburgh. Not that they're going to run a lot of slot stuff, but like he could still play off the ball, right? And I don't think they're looking for like a true guy that's going to command a ton of targets when they have George Pickens there. At least the fantasy community certainly hopes they're not going to get another big target commander with. Everybody's got George Pickens penciled in for a 40% target share, which, by the way, is still probably going to equal like 110 targets in this Arthur Smith, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields goofy offense. But
I mean, and this that's the problem, right? It's like, guys, we've done this exercise before with an Arthur Smith offense, you know,
with a better receiver.
With a better receiver, brother. Like, guys, don't pencil in Pickens for anything. Okay, just let it wash over you. Okay, like, let's not do projections at this point. You know, for George Pickens, for God's sakes. I mean, I get it. There's nobody else. You're like, same thing with Drigler. There's nobody else. This guy's got to walk into 120 targets. No, he doesn't. Okay, like, it's Arthur Smith we're talking about here, so I don't know.
Yeah,
man.
London had like a 28% target share in 22, and he had 117 overall targets. Like, that very much within the realm of possibility. Jeez. But I could see Tyler Boyd as an option for the Steelers.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I look around the league. There's not a ton of places that really get me ultra. I mean, nothing's going to get me ultra jazzed up, but I could see the Chiefs part of it. Again, it's just another slot guy. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, last one here for you. Yeah, I think Pittsburgh. Actually, I think that one makes the most sense to me. Let me throw another one out here for you. Last one of the day. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, for whatever reason, has been linked with the Chargers, which I just find to be hysterical, you know, because it's like they already got a guy that can barely hold on to a football in Quentin Johnston, and now they're being linked with MVS. Like, what? That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. I'm already selling the idea, but buy or sell the idea of MVS to the Chargers.
I'm gonna go ahead and sell.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'll be selling that one. Man, I mean, it's not like they want to throw the ball anyways. I guess another team.
That's true.
So
yeah.
You know, maybe you just don't give any incentive with the receiver position to throw the ball. But I actually think there are teams where MVS makes sense. I just don't want him to be anywhere close to like your top three options. And like, he signs with the Chargers, he might be the second best receiver after Josh Palmer, depending on how Quentin Johnson develops him, and obviously whether they draft a guy. So, like, actually, if I sat there and thought about it, like, situational deep threat who doesn't really get open, you know, is an inconsistent catcher of the football, but like, okay, we just want him to situationally stretch the field. I actually could probably sit down and find some spots where I don't mind MBS. And if I looked at like connective tissue, stuff like that, like guys he's played with before, I'm sure I could find some spots, but I think we're getting too close to like top of the depth chart with Chargers there.
Top of the depth chart. Oh my goodness. That's not good. And again, we're talking about, like, as a matter of fact, now that I actually think about it, Matt, I actually want him to go to the Chargers now that I'm thinking about it. That would be the most hysterical wide receiver room. It really would be. Week in and week out, can you imagine outrageous. Justin Herbert just tossing up footballs to Quentin Johnston and MVS?
And I just actually don't want to imagine that. That makes me sad.
I mean, it's sad for Justin Herbert, but it's funny for us. I mean, it's funny for us. It'd be funny as hell to see that offense rolling out there, you know, like play action, MVS wide open because the DBs don't care. Him just whether or not 50-50 wide open, you don't know whether he's going to catch it. That would actually be legitimately funny to watch that football. It would be. So now I'm rooting for it.
You and I have a different definition of humor in this situation, but I respect your right to feel that way.
All right, so there you go. MVS to the Chargers. Let's hope it doesn't happen. Anyways, that's going to be the show here. Let us know, man. But yeah, go to the website, receptionperception.com. By the way, we'd love to do some mailbag episodes in here too. So if you guys want to find us on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, throw some questions our way. And we'll try to get to those questions as we run up on them, man. But that's it for the show, man. For Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. We'll see you. And remember, it's never too late to chase your dreams. Peace.